This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Sincere joins me live in studio. He's online at ricksincere.com, former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. Is it raining when you came in just
now? Yeah, it's raining. Definitely coming down.
And you heard that they were closing some of the tunnels down in Hampton Roads?
Yeah, a friend of mine who lives in Norfolk and goes to ODU said that classes were canceled there today, and at least two of the three tunnels that you used to get out of Norfolk were closed down because of flooding.
Wow, goodness gracious, that's awful.
Yeah, it really is.
So where should we start? Let's start with the latest on the ABC privatization issue. Governor, we expected that he would make an announcement today.
Well, he did make one announcement either yesterday or today. He said that he will not call a special session of the General Assembly if he doesn't have the votes lined up, which is sort of a no-brainer, and that's kind of what we expected. I think what we didn't expect was that he would have to be counting votes at this point. When the proposals were first floated during the summer, there was an expectation that the Republicans would all line up behind it and they would be supportive. But in fact, most of the opposition is coming from Republicans who don't like the new taxes that are being included in the program. Now, you can argue whether it's actually going to be a net tax increase or not, and I haven't been able to analyze the figures well enough to make a decision about that. I think it's far more important on principle to get the government out of the liquor business. But, those who are concerned about taxes and spending and what this does to the budget are looking closely at the numbers. And there are a number of Republicans who you would have expected to be waving the flag in favor of privatization are saying, oh, slow down.
Well, Rob Bell is one of them. He was on WINA this morning, and it was a great moment when Rick asked him, thinking the answer was yes, will you support this, right? And he said, well, I haven't made up my mind yet. And I don't think he was just playing politics on that. You could sort of tell, I think he was being sincere. I really don't know yet. And Rick was like, you don't support it? I thought for sure you would support this.
Yeah, I've been surprised at a number of people I've talked to, State Senator Ralph Smith, Dickie Bell over in the Valley, Steve Landis, they've all had reservations about it, and that was even before some of the details came out. Now, I do know that there were some changes in the proposals that were being discussed today. As I understand it, the Governor's Commission on Governmental Reform was going to vote on the proposal today and sort of forward it to the General Assembly. One of the things I understand that was removed is the proposed 2.5% so-called convenience fee for restaurants. Essentially, this would be a replacement for the retail tax that restaurateurs pay now when they buy alcohol at the retail stores, because now they'll be able to buy directly from wholesalers. And this is, it literally is a convenience fee because it'll allow them to have liquor delivered to their restaurants rather than have to go pick it up themselves. But there was a lot of complaint about that.
It was a new tax business.
Although, I think on
they're already
net,
paying it, right?
On net, they probably would have been paying less money. But there were complaints about it. Another set of complaints came from owners of very small convenience stores who thought they would be shut out of the process for getting licenses. And there's a new proposal to add another 100 licenses for selling distilled spirits in stores of less than 3,000 square feet. We're talking about really small mom-and-pop operations. And they would be able to get a license for between approximately $100,000 and $150,000, which is about a third of the price that larger stores will be paying. And the government will also finance that. They'd sort of like take out a loan for that amount of money, and then they'd be able to pay it off over a period of 4 or 5 years.
Like a seller-financed home.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it would be like.
We're talking with Rick Sincere. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Rick, I'm reading here from the political blog at the Washington Post. This was posted just a few hours ago. It says the governor's plan now is to auction off a total of 1,000 ABC licenses, with 600 of them going to big retailers such as Walmart and Costco, 250 for convenience stores, and 150 for smaller retailers. And this is interesting. Currently, the state operates 332 liquor stores.
Right.
In the state. So we're actually talking about being able to buy liquor at a whole lot more places in
but
Virginia.
But keep in mind that there's something like 5,000 outlets in Virginia where you can buy beer and wine. So the total number of stores where you can buy alcohol will not go up because most of those places, you know, the Costco, the Walmarts, the CVSs, Kroger's, they already sell beer and wine. They'll just be adding a new product line to what they have available. So I don't think that we're going to see an increase in the number of places where you can buy alcoholic beverages, just an increase in the number of places where you can buy liquor, which
right.
is a different kind of alcohol, but that's what's been limited to consumers in Virginia for the past 75 years.
And, you know, if this happens, we'll get used to it in about 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's just going to be like, oh, yeah, this is how we do it now.
Right. I've lived in Wisconsin where, you know, liquor stores are so common, they call them beer depots. You know, it's just, it's like a railroad depot. You walk into a supermarket, you buy, you know, what you want. My parents lived in Las Vegas for more than 20 years. I would go visit them. You can go to a supermarket there 24 hours a day and buy liquor, and nobody bats an eye. And also, they don't have any problems about kids sneaking into the liquor department and, you know, putting a bottle of bourbon underneath their coats and going, you know, sneaking away with it. I mean, they're very responsible. The retailers know that if they let that sort of thing happen, they lose their license. And if they lose their license for selling alcohol, they might as well go out of business.
Yeah. Now, you've told us before that if this happens as well, we are likely to see much more diverse selections of liquor than we may have gotten used to at ABC stores now.
Yeah, the ABC stores are not as bad as in some other control states like Pennsylvania, where the selection is really, really poor. And in fact, people in Pennsylvania routinely go to New Jersey or New York or Maryland to buy their alcohol because it's really like walking into a Soviet store. But there are a lot of, you know, really boutique-y style exotic liqueurs and liquors that, you know, they're like $60, $75 a bottle that they don't carry at the ABC stores because there's so little demand for it. And if you want it, first of all, you have to know it exists.
Yeah.
And if you know it exists, you can put it on special order. But most people, when they're shopping around for stuff like that, don't already have a particular brand in mind of, you know, say a violet-flavored liqueur, which is used for, some kind of, you know, special artisanal cocktail. Right. I read the spirits column in the Washington Post food section every couple weeks, and there is usually a recipe for some really unusual drink. And I would say that a third of the ingredients that the guy lists are not available in ABC stores. You'd have to go to Washington, D.C., to even there to sort of an upmarket kind of liquor store to buy the stuff that he's recommending that you use in your exotic cocktail.
Yeah, so we would see the long-tail market finally come to liquor in Virginia.
Right, just like we have specialized wine stores and specialized beer stores in Virginia where you can go and you can get, a craft brew or a craft wine, you'll be able to go to a place and get what's essentially a craft bourbon or craft scotch, you know, things that are only available at very high prices. So the people who are, you know, waving the bloody shirt about teenagers and underage drinkers and people who are going to overindulge, you know, nobody overindulges on a $75 bottle of vodka. You know, that's not something you buy in order to get drunk.
Right. We're talking with Rick Sincere, and the phone lines are open 977-1070. According to this article in the Washington Post, the governor's numbers don't add up, and the changes he's made to it it said it's still $20 million short of bringing in what state-owned ABC stores do. I personally feel like I don't care. I'd rather see the government out of the liquor business and supporting private enterprise rather than trying to maintain a certain revenue stream that they shouldn't have had in the first place. But we are seeing it's interestingly enough, as you pointed out, really conservative Republicans more concerned about maintaining that revenue stream than supporting the private market.
Yeah, and you know, I think that they are anticipating the wrong kind of unexpected consequences here. I think that if you're releasing 1,000 liquor licenses across the state, that the revenue stream will grow. First of all, just by bringing back that 20% or so of customers who drive across the river to D.C. every week to buy their liquor at private sector liquor stores, because they have better selection and they can get what they want and it's convenient. You're adding a lot of customer base there. And I think just as a matter of principle, we shouldn't be in this business. I don't understand why there are vices that are available only through government programs like the lottery. You know, gambling is bad unless the government is in charge of it.
Yeah.
Very hard to understand that line of reasoning.
We're honored to be talking with Rick Sincere. He's the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. And the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. It's about 14 minutes in front of 6 o'clock, 67 degrees in Charlottesville. As I was saying earlier, I think one of the things that bothers me most about this are you're either a political conservative or you're not. You're either going to stand up and say, I don't want government in the liquor business. I support the private marketplace. I support free enterprise, small business, and this is good for business. And this is better for consumers, people who want to buy liquor in Virginia, and the government shouldn't be in this business in the first place. And yet you're going to lose some revenue stream and you're going to lose your ability to spend some money that's coming to you right now.
Well, one thing that's true of both liberals and conservatives is that neither one lays claim to consistency as part of the political philosophy. Both of them will say, I don't want the government involved in X unless it's something that they like. And then they say, oh, the government should do that. You know, I don't want the government controlling talk radio unless there's, you know, a neo-Nazi who's talking on the talk radio. You know, then he should be censored. You know, that could be a liberal position. But you might have a conservative who says, you know, I don't want the government involved in the private lives of individuals, but there should be a government program to promote marriage and fatherhood. There's no consistency there, but they go at it anyway.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And they both love big government. They just define it differently.
Right, right. They both like big government as long as it's doing something that they think should be done. And that's not the answer. I think the answer is to reduce the size and scope of government so that individuals and families can control their own lives at the neighborhood level, at the family level, and let people make decisions for themselves.
We're talking with Rick Sincere. Let's explore a little bit, if we can, any of your thoughts and an update on the 5th District congressional race, Republican Robert Hurt, Independent Conservative candidate Jeff Clark, and Democratic incumbent Tom Perriello. That election now just a few weeks away.
Well, I noticed today Larry Sabato's crystal ball changed the 5th District race from toss-up to leans Republican, which is a change. They thought it was going to be really close. I suppose that their next report's probably going to say likely Republican, because that's just the way things are going right now. Dick Morris had an article today that said that he thinks that the Republicans could gain more than 75 seats, which would be unprecedented since, I think, 1922, which was the last time either party gained that many seats in a midterm election. I don't know whether it'll go that far, but the trend is that whoever in the incumbent is as long as the incumbent's a Democrat, is going to lose in November, except in really, really safe seats. And Tom Perriello does not have a safe seat.
Yeah. Well, you think some of these Tea Party candidates that got the Republican nomination are going to be able to win across the country?
Right now, here's an example. Sharon Angell, who by all accounts would be an awful candidate. I think James Carville said that, you know, the Republicans could have nominated anybody to beat Harry Reid. They chose the one person who can't. Harry Reid is down 44% in the polls. He's, you know, if somebody, an incumbent, a long-term incumbent especially, has less than 44% approval rating this close to the election, they're going to lose. You know, it's just impossible to win that back. And even, you know, Christine O'Donnell in Delaware is surging. In West Virginia, the Republican is ahead of the very popular Democratic governor in the race to replace Robert Byrd. You know, nobody would have expected that even 2 months ago. The mood of the country is anti-establishment, anti-incumbent, anti-Democrat. And unfortunately for the Democrats, they are the establishment and they are the incumbents, and they're going to be on the losing end of the stick this time
around. It's so interesting, because you could argue, and this is one way I look at it, one of the big reasons we're in this mess is because of the Republicans, 8 years in the Bush administration, mm-hmm. that, as far as I'm concerned, and not by themselves, of course, but they broke it. They broke it. They had it in their hands, and they broke it. And we're trying to pick up the pieces now, so we want to put those men and women back in to fix what they Their policies are what broke it in the first place.
Well, you know, I don't know whether voters think about this consciously or not, but Americans really do like divided government. They understand the principle of checks and balances in the Constitution sort of viscerally, and they know that checks and balances won't work if the same party controls all the branches of government. So when a Democrat's in the White House and they think that the country's not going in the right direction, they want to get some balance on the other side, so they put Republicans in charge of the Congress. And if the Republicans are in charge in the White House, as they were in 2006, they elect Democrats to control the Congress. And I think that's a really healthy aspect of our system. You want to put some brakes on things so that there's not too much forward momentum for policies that the people really don't want, like you know, the health care law, which was wildly unpopular. And the Obama administration, the Democratic leadership in Congress forced it through all sorts of arm twisting and log rolling and back scratching that and out and out lying. Yeah. And people don't like that.
And it's an excellent point. And we should underscore the fact that the system was designed to be that way. Mm-hmm. It was designed to be big and clumsy and unwieldy because they didn't want a government that could do things very quickly with just a few people involved.
Yeah, and especially the Senate was designed that way. The Senate was supposed to be the deliberative body with six-year terms, the leisure to think about things. It was supposed to be the counterpart to the House of Lords in the British Parliament, in which you know they just sort of look at legislation carefully, and the filibuster, which is only in the Senate, there's no such thing as a filibuster in the House of Representatives. The filibuster is designed to make sure that minority interests are represented in Congress, so that if a piece of legislation is going to adversely affect a small number of people,
you can stop it.
You can stop it. Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Brian is with us. Brian, thanks for your patience. You're on Charlottesville right now. You go right ahead. Yep. Well, I think his patience ran out. 977-1070. Hey, Rick, let me play the latest Robert Hurt ad, which I think just launched today.
I saw it yesterday. Might be a couple days old.
This is it's called Differently, and this is the latest commercial, television commercial for Robert Hurt. And let's see. Let me see. Where are we? I'm going to bear with me here as I am.
Modern technology.
I'm trying to. Oh, yeah. Boy, I'm not quite sure what's going on. Here it is. Okay. All right. This is the latest Robert Hurt commercial.
Tom Perriello's negative attacks. Paid actors. Misleading.
Instead of talking about the issues, Congressman Perriello and his liberal allies are launching negative attacks. That's what they do in Washington. But we do things differently around here.
Perriello says Robert wants to send jobs overseas. That's just false. But Perriello did vote to give tax breaks to foreign companies creating jobs in China. That's a fact his actors left out.
I'm Robert Hurt, and I approve this message.
Last week when I was here, I was somewhat critical of some of Tom Perriello's ads. This week, I think I can be critical of Robert Hurt's ad. It's true that Perriello is running negative ads against Robert Hurt. It's not true that he's not talking about the issues. In fact, the Perriello ads are chock full of issues. Now, as it happens, I agree with Robert Hurt on those issues, and I think that Tom Perriello is wrong. But Tom Perriello is not issuing negative attacks that are not issue-based. I mean, he lists the issues on which he disagrees with Robert Hurt and challenges Senator Hurt to defend himself. And in this ad, instead of defending himself, he leaves the impression that Perriello is attacking him on some other basis, you know, whether it's personal or psychological or whatever it might be. But he's definitely attacking him on the issues. The other thing is, you know, accusing a politician of using actors in his political ads is kind of weird. And, you know, if anybody doesn't know that those are actors in Tom Perriello's ads, they shouldn't be voting in the first place.
Right. That's how they do it. What about the and it's really interesting how they're both trying to paint each other as insiders and that they're the outsiders.
Yeah, I think it's really weird that you know, the incumbent is running as the outsider in this race.
Yeah.
And he keeps referring to his opponent, Senator Hurt, as sort of the establishment politician. To be fair, I mean, Robert Hurt's been in the General Assembly for 10 years, but the General Assembly in Virginia is a citizen legislature. It only sits for 4 to 6 weeks every year, and the rest of the time, people like Robert Hurt have real jobs. unlike Tom Perriello, who is a full-time legislator in Washington and is, you know, he does actually caucus with Nancy Pelosi and Barney Frank and the rest of the Democratic caucus. He's not an outsider by any stretch of the imagination. He will be after November 2nd, but not right now.
Now, what's your take on the claim in the ad that Tom Perriello gives tax breaks to foreign companies doing business in China? Where does that come from?
I don't have any basis to judge that. I don't understand how a state legislator could have anything to do with that. You know, it might be that he said he supported some Republican proposal in Congress, but I don't know enough about the details to comment.
No, I think
comment.
Hurt is saying that about Perriello.
Oh, Hurt. Oh, yeah. Hurt's saying that about Perriello. I don't know specifically what legislation he's talking about. I think it's probably true, but it was probably something buried in a piece of legislation that, you know, given that congressmen don't read the bills that they vote for, Perriello probably doesn't even know he voted for it.
Rick, thank you very much, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Rick Sincere, he's the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia, and he's online at ricksincere.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.